your co-host, Mike Ranton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts, but here for anyone who's interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is numerologist Wanda Chapel. You can call in and talk with Wanda and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I am absolutely fabulous. What an exciting World Series game last night. I know this isn't what the show is about, but 14 innings, wow. That was pretty incredible. And I know that a lot of our listeners are going to be watching the game tonight, but I know we also have a lot of people tuning in, and I really appreciate that. So good luck, Royals. I hope you do well. Good luck to the Mets, too, because I think they're a pretty good team. I am very excited about our guest tonight. Before I get to that, I very quickly want to give a huge thank you again to everyone who came out to this year's Psychic Fair, which was October 16th to the 18th. Everybody who came to visit me, hi, thank you. And everybody who showed up, all the vendors, all the readers, all of the volunteers, the fair was a wonderful success, and we couldn't have done it without any of you at all. I just really appreciate it. I can't even tell you. But I'm so excited about our guest tonight, who herself is quite the veteran of the PRS Fair. Wanda Chapel is a very renowned numerologist in the Kansas City area, and I want to welcome you to our show, Wanda. Thank you for being with us tonight.
It's my pleasure. And I also want to thank the people that came to the show. I had so many wonderful people to talk to. It's just amazing.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it great? I love all of the variety of unique souls that we get to interact with during the course of the fair. I think it's just, it's so much fun and it's so enlightening.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that.
Well, before we get into numerology itself, I want to know just a little bit about you. Give our listeners just a little bit of Wanda history, I guess, of how you came into the field of numerology in the first place and kind of how you got to this point in your spiritual journey.
Well, one of the things as I look back in my life, I've always had a curiosity about why do people do what they do? And I could never really get any kind of insights into it. And I became a nurse as I was growing up and worked that. I was a nurse for approximately 30 years. But I had the luck to live in California for a while. And anyone that's been to California knows there are teaching schools in every street corner. And I managed to find one that I could use. I went to several of the different classes that they had, palmistry, astrology, and, you know, all the different things. But I never really connected with any of the different things until I got into a numerology class. And all of a sudden, it was like I was being talked to by the numbers and really could begin to connect with them. I studied there for quite a while and then eventually moved to the center of the country. And I have been doing shows now for the last 18 years, with PRS being one of my favorite shows. That's pretty much how I got here.
That's a great career that you've had, especially over these last 18 years. And let me say, you are one of PRS's favorites, too. We absolutely love you, and we're thankful for you.
Well, thank you. Being a nurse actually has been a great help when I'm trying to discuss different points in numerology. So I'll bring that in later.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, before we really get into the more of the thick of the philosophy and such, what exactly, if you could define it, how would you define numerology?
Numerology is a way of finding out what you're supposed to be doing in this lifetime. They always say that you never come with a manual of what this lifetime is all about, and they're not really right about that. If you take and use the numerological numbers and discuss what each one means, you get a real picture of the gifts and talents in the name and the lessons in the date of birth. And for that reason alone, you cannot change what you've come to do, because there's no mothers in this world that are going to let you go back and be born again.
Oh, yeah, so. That's the truth.
But the name tells me your gifts and talents, and that's a big part. We bring the talents we need to do the job we came to do.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense, too. That it really does to me, and I love that. Yeah, I've often heard the misconception that we don't really have a manual in life. And yes, there are certain things, I think, in general, where we have to learn to use our own wits and our own intuition and our own discernive abilities. But
right.
You know, with numerology and also with things like astrology and other forms of these, I guess I'd say, more metaphysical sciences, I think there's a number of tools that we have. We talk about that on the show a lot, that we have so many tools available to us, metaphysically speaking, in our toolbox that can really help us to discern our path forward.
Exactly. What the people that are working in the shows do is they find something that they can connect with. In my case, yeah. It's numbers. Numbers talk to me. Some people look at the tarot cards and they can just go off on a wonderful story about what's going on and be very accurate, because it's our way of connecting to the universe.
Mm. Yes, and we each have our own unique spiritual gifts.
Exactly.
And I'm very curious, how does this work? I mean, well, I guess I don't want to be that vague. But, for example, in discerning those gifts and talents that you say the numbers can show us through your birth name, how do we go about finding that out?
Okay. Since most people don't know anything about numerology, may I go through my small talk that I do when I'm at a show? It's
go
the best
for it.
Way to kind of introduce people to it. First
well, the
of
floor
all,
is yours, my dear.
I'm sorry?
I said the floor is yours.
Thank you. Each one of you, would you please tell me who named you? A parent, one lady told me that the nurse in her, when she was born, named her. But somebody gave you the name that you have right now. What's so much fun is when I'm at a show, I'll go a little further and I'll show you about that. Okay, so we know that your parents named you. Does this statement make any sense? The earth is not your home. This is boarding school. We have come here, we have classes to take, lessons to learn. At the end of the term, we go home. Most people can connect or kind of wrap their mind around boarding school. It's a term we're all pretty much familiar with. Okay. The last time you were home, and that means before you were born, you chose the lessons you're working on. You picked your parents, you picked your date of birth, but you picked your birth name. And you'll be surprised at how many people say, oh, no, I would never name myself that. The name itself doesn't matter. It's the letters and the meaning of the letters in your name that give me your information on your gifts and your talents. So you may hate your first name, but believe me, it's got a lot of things you'll be very happy that you have. Okay, your name actually works like a magnet, and that's why you had to have a say in what that name was going to be. And that magnet works to bring in people and events to help you do the work you've come to do. And no other name would have done the right job for you, so you had to have a say in what that's going to be. For some people, I'm sure you've heard the statement. I had this great name picked out for the baby, and I took one look, and nope, that's not right. Well, that's when the baby connected psychically and told you the name it had to have. No baby is ever named wrong or born on the wrong day, because both of them are very important to what they're doing in this lifetime. What numerology does is it decodes the information in the name and the date of birth to help you understand what you have come to do in this lifetime. And it's only for this one lifetime. Now, the big thing is, can the client wrap their mind around reincarnation? Most people, yeah, probably. Some absolutely, and some, oh, no. So my next question to them is, do you feel like you have learned everything that you needed to in this lifetime? And most of them will be honest and say, no, I don't. I ask them, you know, well, who, is there going to be a chance for you to learn what you haven't learned in this one lifetime? And they seem to kind of think that one over, and I think they come to the same conclusion that, yes, there is such a thing as reincarnation. So that if you can't wrap your mind around that, then numerology won't mean much to you.
Well, and for me, the concept of reincarnation is a common sense issue. To me, it just makes sense. I look at the nature of the universe and the cycles and the way things move, how, you know, we have our own body cycles, and we have the cycle of the moon, which, you know, governs the months and the tides, and the cycle of a day and a year, and the carbon cycle and the water cycle. And I think, why should life be the only thing to not renew itself?
Exactly. That is for darn sure. In my studies, I came across a book once called Messages from Michael. And anyone who is interested in the evolution of the soul will truly enjoy reading that. And what it says, basically, is that our soul, which is the true part of us, and being a nurse has helped me to explain that a little more clearly. When you go into a hospital to have your heart tested, what do they test?
What do they, when they test your heart? Well, they test your blood pressure. They test your they test your endurance. They check and see if your arteries are blocked. They do all kinds of stuff.
That's right. That's right. But one of the things that they test in the heart is the rhythm of the energy in your heart. Being a nurse, I have seen a patient alive. I've seen the same patient not alive. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that the human body no longer, the physical body no longer possesses a soul. It has moved on. It has transformed.
You remember in the Bible it says dust to dust?
Yes.
Our body is made of elements of the earth. And when we have to have the body in order to learn what we've come to work on. And there is no way that we can read it in a book and get all of the information we need. There's this little baby that at the age of two is walking around touching everything it can get its hands on and heading straight for the stove. And no matter how many times you tell him no, he's still going to head straight for the stove. And the first time he touches it and it's hot, you'll go, oh, don't like that. And he'll stop. It's the same idea. So, with this body, we are able to deal with the issues that we came to work on. But when we finished all of our classwork in this lifetime, we also finished with the body. So the body stays here on earth. Our soul goes to heaven, takes a vacation, makes new choices, and comes back. Now, according to messages from Michael, our soul evolves in the same way we do in this lifetime. In this lifetime, we start out as a baby, then a toddler, a young child, a teenager, young adult, mature, and old. Well, that's for this particular lifetime. But our soul has to go through the same deal. It starts out as a baby soul, and most people have heard that term, and continues on in the same steps. Each one of those levels has enough lessons in it that it takes approximately 7 lifetimes to get through each level. So if you multiply 7 lifetimes times 7 levels, what do you get?
You have 49.
Okay. Some of us will do it a little bit faster. Most of us a little bit slower, but on average, 49. Do you know how many dumb mistakes you can make in those 49 lifetimes and still learn what we need to?
I can't even count the dumb mistakes I've made in one lifetime.
Well, that is the only thing that gives us any hope that we're going to make it. Now,
yeah.
I used to talk to my guides and say, all right, I'm telling everybody you're here, you're going to school. But I couldn't tell them what the end results of it was going to be. So after about 10 years of bugging them every show, they finally owned up and told me what I needed to know. Let's start with this lifetime. You're born. Can you go out and earn a living at that time?
No, of course not.
Okay. You're now 5 years old. Do you know more now than the day you were born?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You are now in the 6th grade. Do you know more now than when you were 5 years old?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. You just finished the 12th grade. Now what?
Oh, now I think I know everything. No.
Unfortunately,
well, you know, 18.
But
yes, I know a lot more, but I'm still not necessarily mastered it. But, yeah, I definitely know more. Hopefully have
okay.
enough to make my way.
Now
in
what do you do?
You figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life, and you move into adulthood, and you start to learn how to survive as an independent human being.
A lot of people have trouble kind of coordinating thoughts about that point. So here's what I offer them. I'm not trying to, you know, speak for them, but I offer it as a possibility. So after you graduate from school, you find a place to live, you find a job, you add to your friends, and you become part of the world. Does that sound right?
Yeah, definitely. Even if that job is still continuing your education, it's still part of your adult
absolutely.
Work.
Oh, yeah, we're always learning. Okay.
Yeah.
Our soul goes through the same process. We learn at each stage of the game, and we keep adding to what we've already learned. But there are so many lessons that we have to work on that we must keep going at that level until we learn everything at that level. And you just keep going. By the time you have finished the old soul level, you have enough knowledge in your soul to be able to go out and be part of the universe. And that's what all of this is about, is getting us ready to go out. Because our soul is energy, and energy never dies. So we are here for a long run, and you just happen to be in school right now.
I love the parallel that's drawn there between the stages of living your life on this earth and the stages of soul living.
Exactly.
I guess I'll term it that.
Here's the thing that goes along with that. Soul age and current age have nothing to do with each other.
You've
seen children that act older than their parents, and you've seen 50-year-olds that act like a 5-year-old. So you are constantly being surrounded by souls of different ages. And that's why our world is so varied, is because not everybody is at the same level.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, and particularly in and I've come across that. My oldest daughter is probably the oldest soul I've ever known in my life, and I've always said that never know who the parent is, she or I. Whereas my youngest daughter, though, on the other hand, is definitely one of the youngest souls full of wide-eyed wonder at the universe. And it's an amazing contrast, but a beautiful balance.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing to remember, particularly as a parent. Your kids chose you to be a parent. Now, many people say they would never have chosen that person to be their mother or their father. But
yeah, I've
put
heard that
this
on,
forward.
I've heard that on several occasions, yeah.
I put this forward. We learn a lot faster and a lot better when things are not good. When things are good, we just kind of float along. But we learn very quickly what we don't like and won't do by the people that are our parents.
Wow, that's so true. And the thing that stands out to me is that it's been a while, but someone once told me, be very concerned when you become content. Because
exactly.
Contentment is not a growing state of being. And stagnant energy can turn negative.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
you'll hear...
Yeah, worried about being content.
You're very successful people. You will hear very successful people say that I learned more when I failed than I did when I succeeded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it's necessary to fall down so you can learn to pick yourself back up again. And eventually you can reach a level where you can enjoy the rewards and the fruits of your labor and of all that you have learned. And that enjoyment, I think, should be treasured and cherished and have a level of gratitude, but always remembering to be grateful for those stumbles and those learning experiences and that bring us to a higher level of spiritual evolution.
You're exactly right. Numerology is actually a very old science. It goes back a minimum of 3,000 years. And the father of numerology is a gentleman by the name of Pythagoras.
Oh, Pythagorean theorem.
Exactly. He has gotten us ever since. And I never did get it.
I didn't either. I've never used it either. So
never could get that. But that's the way it goes. But he had a school, and when you went to his school, you did not speak for 2 years.
Wow.
During that time, you listened, and you heard what was going on, and you ran it through your mind. After that, then you could begin to share. But it was 3,000. And he would not allow anyone to write anything down. So after he was killed and he was murdered, the people that were in his school decided they'd better write stuff down or it would be lost. So we're lucky in that way.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. You've got to preserve that knowledge.
Exactly.
Wow. So how did Pythagoras contribute to this? What did he, since it's basically his invention, what was his system? What did it look like?
He believed that you could understand a human being as clearly with numbers as you could a math problem. And he was constantly searching to connect in a way that people could understand. He was quite a guy. Now,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it makes sense on a basic level, and to quote the movie Mean Girls, they asked the girl why she loved math, and she said, because it's the same in every country. Numbers are a language that we all speak on the same level.
Exactly. When we start looking at numbers, what we do and how we get our numbers is we'll write out the prime numbers 1 through 9. Under 1, we'll put A. Under 2, we'll put B. Under 3, C. Go all the way to 9 and then start all over again. So the letters A, J, and S are 1s. 1s talk about standing on your own 2 feet and making your own decisions. 2 talks about relationships. 3 talks about the artist and creativity in all forms. 4, if you look at a chair, it's got 4 legs. That is stability and very much very good at being precise and things like that. 5 talks about learning to do things in your own way. 6 talks about human humanitarian service on a one-to-one level. I always refer to 6s as the doctors and nurses because they know the people that they're dealing with. 7 talks about the search for knowledge and always, you know, trying to increase the knowledge of what we know and expand out beyond that. 8 talks about, they're kind of like business people. They look around their world and see what needs, what's working well and what's not working well, and try to make the things not working well work better. In other words, to keep their life moving along. And 9 is humanitarian service on a global level. These are your teachers. And if you look at it, the 6s and the 9s are humanitarian service numbers. I always have fun showing people that. If the 6 looks like a mother sitting in a rocking chair rocking her baby, that's 1-to-1. The 9 talks about the knowledge in the head and sharing knowledge. So it's just a quick reminder.
That makes a great deal of sense. I have a question. I've read occasionally about what they call power numbers of 11 and 22. Does that have any place in this system of numerology?
Yes, it does. Those are called master numbers. It actually goes up to 99, but very few people go beyond 22. 11 is the master teacher, and I have a lot of fun when I find somebody born on the 11th. My first statement to them is this: please do not do anything that you don't want to see on the front page of the newspaper. The 11 talks about living your life, but everybody around you watching how you live your life. So you don't have to do anything extra. But the bad part of it is, if you go off key, if you do anything you really shouldn't have done, you get caught every single time.
Oh, wow.
And you ask anyone born on the 11th, and they'll tell you they've never gotten away with a thing in their life. So I have a lot of fun with that one. The other one is the 22. And these are the master builders. These are people who have the gift, if they choose to use it, to become leaders in all forms, builders. It's called a master builder. And they build skyscrapers and bridges and run companies and all this kind of stuff. But it's a choice in their part. They don't have to do it, but should they decide they want to, they do have the gift for doing it. Now, another group of numbers that I'm sure you've heard about are the karmic debt numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Those numbers are 13, 14, 16, and 19. And these show a connection to the past. When, you know, people ask you, can you tell anything about what's going on before? And when you see these, you do get some insight. The 13 talks about someone who may not have carried their full share of the workload when they were growing up in another lifetime. And somebody else had to come in and do the work they didn't do. So they incurred karmic debt. So in this lifetime, they may feel put upon because they're the ones that have to take care of people and more than, you know, anybody else, and it's because they're paying off that debt. 14 talks about someone with family issues. In another lifetime, part of them wanted to go off and join the circus and have a grand old time on their own. And part of them knew that they had to stay near the family because if, you know, needed, they would be there to help. And they never quite got the balancing act right in that lifetime. So they brought it into this lifetime. And in this lifetime, you see them feeling like everybody's trying to rule their life and won't let them do what they want to do. So that is something that they have to work out. And I always recommend a book called Boundaries. Yes, the parents do, or the family does, have the right to ask you to be around when things are bad, but they do not have the right to rule your life. Then you go into 60.
Very well said.
This is another one that I have a lot of fun with. When I see the 16, it tells me that in a previous lifetime, they were a swinger.
Oh, my.
And believe me, half the time I get some really interesting answers to that. Oh, yeah, and I still am. So what can I say? But in another lifetime, if they saw someone they were interested in, it was you here now. And it didn't bother them if they were already connected to somebody else. So in this lifetime, in order to pay off that debt, they are searching for knowledge that will put them beyond having to do that kind of stuff. So they're always trying to learn more about what life is really about. Then you come to 19. And guess what? I was born on the 19th. Does that tell you anything? Uh-huh. In a previous lifetime, I had some real power. And unfortunately, some of the decisions that I made in that time period caused injury to others. Now, sometimes it's hard not to, but in this lifetime, I am still learning to stand on my own two feet. But I am extremely sensitive to how my decisions will affect others. So if I see that somebody is going to be hurt by the decision I made, it's an automatic plan B because of being so sensitive from the other lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the numbers that kind of give us insight into other lifetimes.
Wow, and that's interesting that you bring that up, too. We occasionally have touched on the subject of karma on the show. And how a lot of people have a misperception of what karma is and how they see karma as this some type of deity or something separate from, you know, just looking down and going, oh, you did a bad, here's a bad for you, you know. and it's so not that. I mean, it is truly the law of energy and how it moves and how it picks up more and what goes around comes around eventually. and
one
yeah,
of my favorite. I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to say that when you learn to see karma for what it is, it's easier to not feel resentful of it, I think, and to say, well, yes, I need to learn these lessons, and if this is something that has stuck with me into another lifetime, then obviously it's something very important.
Right. What was I going to say?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I have so many things I want to share that I sometimes get off kilter. Have you ever had anyone go out of their way to be really, really mean to you?
Oh, yes.
Sure
bullying was an issue for me when I was growing up. I was a very bullied child. So, yeah, I know that feeling.
You know the best thing that you can do? Look them straight in the eye and laugh. Say, boy, did you blow at that. You do not hurt people and get away with it. If it doesn't get you in that lifetime, it will get you in the next. You just don't do it. That gives people a lot of hope.
And like I said, it doesn't have anything to do with somebody dealing out justice and punishment. It has to do with you put it out there, man, so it's coming back.
Oh, yeah. And it usually comes back about tenfold.
Oh, yes. Come
but laugh at them. You'll throw them off so badly, they won't believe it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, I know that we've talked a little bit about the name and the significance of the name. Let's talk a little bit about the date of birth and that significance.
Okay. Built into the date of birth is the lessons that you've come to work on. The day you were born is what in the way I do numerology is a core number. The birthday or the full birthday is the major core number. That is called your life path. This tells me the major lessons that you're working on. A one, if your life path is a one, it will be learning to stand on your own two feet, which means that you will constantly be putting yourself into positions where you have to make decisions and live by the results of it. And so, and then the birthday, it's right next to it in value, and that talks about another lesson, but not quite as strong as the first one. And sometimes that will modify the major lesson, and sometimes it will support the major lesson. So you just have to see what the numbers are at the time.
That's interesting. And so to come up with that major number where you said you've taken the whole birth date into consideration,
yes.
How do you come up with that number? How do you do that?
Okay. Let's say you were born on the 12th day or the 12th month of the year. You would automatically add the 1 and the 2 together and bring a 3 down. Say you were born on the 12th day, you would add the 1 and the 2 together and get another 3. And then 19, say, 9, or 2000. 2 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0. So that would be 3, 6, and 2 for the year. Would be 8. So that would be the lesson, the major lesson you're working on in this lifetime.
Mine ends up being 22.
there's
that 22.
You're doing it where you're supposed to, hon.
Wow.
You've done a good job with it, too. Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But that's the way it works. And that brought up one other thing I wanted to tell you about. It's gone. Okay. Any questions?
Ah, wow. It's
okay.
An incredibly vast subject.
It is. One thing that I run into when I'm working is trying to figure out what name to use when I'm running the numbers and so forth. If the child or if the person has been adopted, you have to find out at what age they were adopted. If they were adopted before the age of 1, then the biological name would be the one that we would need for the information. If they were adopted after the age of 1, then the new parent's name would give us our information.
I see.
That's always been, an issue that I really have to pay attention to.
Well, here's a question for you. What if someone has gone through the process to legally change their name for whatever reason it may be?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. They can change it. What will happen is that in the process of changing the name, they may add some gifts or they may lose some gifts. And that would be the effect of the name change. But the name, the original name on the birth certificate, is the starting point for the information that we need. Now, the report that I do gives a look at both the current name and the birth name to see the effect of the new name. And a lot of people are always curious about nicknames. Their name is William and they go by Bill. Nicknames are kind of like taking a little vacation from who you are.
Mm.
You really don't want to be that formal William, so I'm going to be Bill. Which is fine. And what I always tell people is, if you are going to be a seen as professional, would you rather talk to a Patricia or a Patty?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. For me, I really am not certain. I would like for me personally, I'd like for someone's, what they go by, to reflect who I see them as and not when I'm dealing with them. So I guess if it's in a professional setting, then the Patricia would be.
Let's say that she is a lawyer. Is she Patty or is she Patricia?
She's definitely Patricia.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And people
Patricia.
Do, unknowingly, they do reflect on that.
Right.
You wouldn't think so, but they do. So anyone that is going to be seen as a professional, I always encourage them to use their formal name.
And that makes a lot of sense. And I'm one of those people that my birth name is different than the name that I've – and the name that I go by, Nikki, has always, even before I could speak or anything, been the name that was used to refer to me. But my legal name, my given name is Sarah – but I've always have used Sarah on, for example, legal documents, or when my name was being announced at graduation, it wasn't Nikki, it was Sarah Nicole at that point in time when I walked across the stage. That's an interesting thought.
Here's the thing. In the work that you do, Nikki is a wonderful name because it shows a direct contact to the universe in the eyes. The N tells me that you do things in your own way. And
yes,
the K talks about another direct contact to the universe. So you couldn't do anything.
Well, I also
but
use that. I also use that name as I'm a singer, actually, is my main profession. So that's also the name that I use in that profession and as well. And I find that it resonates with that. Interesting.
But
that's very interesting.
The time I'm speaking of is, you know, we have a bunch of jobs that are considered professional. And in that case, you need something that portrays a professional person. And a lot of times nicknames just don't quite do it.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think that if I had gone into a profession of, say, well, if I was maybe a politician, which God forbid, but if I was a politician, I think I'd be Sarah instead of Nikki.
Or Nicole. Nicole is also a very professional sound.
Very true. It is. I think you're correct about that. There's a lot in the way and the impression that people get just from hearing the name itself. I think
exactly.
It resonates to a certain vibration.
Exactly. And
interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way before. I thank you for the new perspective.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you. In our reports that we do, there are karmic lessons, modified karmic lessons, and karmic debt. Okay? Karmic lessons are things that you chose to work on in this lifetime. A modified karmic lesson is something that you started in another lifetime, but you didn't get a chance to finish it. So in this lifetime, you're still working on that. There is one other thing that I'd like to take a few minutes on. Have you ever wondered why just about the time your life is going well, it seems to go to hell in a handbasket?
That has happened on occasion, yes.
On occasion, yes. Quite regularly, actually, if you stop to think about it. Each lifetime, we bring in a large number of lessons to work on. Way too many to be dealing with them all at the same time. So what we do is we build a little mountain over beside us, and every 9 years throughout our life, we go to that mountain and we start taking it apart bit by bit. We choose the lessons out of that stack for a certain time period. The time period is 9 years. Once you have gone through a 9-year period, you no longer deal with those particular lessons. You start the process all over with a new group. and you continue to be on the earth until you have at least started to work on everything in the stack. And the reason we have modified lessons is because some things are a little bit too heavy to deal with all in one lifetime. So we shift part of it to the next. And that's why it's given the name modified. I always speak of Mozart. Do you honestly believe that Mozart learned everything he knew about music in this one lifetime?
Oh, heavens no.
Starting
no one,
at the no age
one could
of five.
Start at the beginning and be that gifted already.
Exactly. He did all of his scut work, all of his beginning work, in another lifetime. By the time he got here, he was ready to run.
Wow, and he did. He hit the ground running.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the ground
and
running.
All, and all of your prodigies, I think, did the same thing. They started work in another lifetime, and they brought it forward. And now they're seen as, you know, super special. And they are. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that they've had a little bit more time to work on it than most.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow,
but
another new perspective.
Going back to the personal year cycle. In the first place, everything that I'm going to be talking about is subconscious. It's going on, but you don't know it. Have you ever raised a garden? You know, you put a seed in the ground and it comes up and it's a watermelon. That idea. A nine-year cycle is like a nine-month garden. The first thing that you've got to do is you've got to choose what you're going to actually plant. Okay? In other words, you go to that stack, you handpick the lessons that you want to deal with for the next 9 years. Once you've made the choice, you plant those thoughts in the back of your mind. This is what I'm going to work on. That is the end of year number one. And the year starts the 1st of January, ends the end of December. Then you go into year number two. Those seedlings have to germinate. So in year number two, you're running the thoughts through your mind. This is how I'm going to work on it. Well, by year number three, the seedlings have germinated and they're starting to come up through the earth. So you're beginning to see some physical action relating to these issues. But then you go to year number four. And this is the oh my gosh year. All of a sudden, coming into your life are all of these things you have never had to deal with before. And here's the trick to year number four. As a new issue shows up, start working on it. I didn't say finish, I just said start. A little while later, something else will show up. Start working on it. And so forth and so on to the end of that year. Everything at the end of that year will have shown up. That is a real work year. Then you go into year number five. This is still a work year. But basically what you're doing is you are smoothing off the rough edges of how you're dealing with that issue. Then you go into year number six. You have been so busy in the last 5 years working on these issues that you may have caused a rift between family and friends. So in year number six, you say, I'm tired of this stuff, guys. Come on, let's go party. You go out, you enjoy your friends, you rebuild your relationship, and finally. Then you go into year number seven. The lessons are going well. The family is quiet and peaceable, so now you have some time just for you. In year number seven, you are trying to get more insight into your soul. You know about being a wife, a mother, a friend, a coworker. That's all this lifetime stuff. But you are much more than that. You are a soul. And you are trying to get more insight. You will be drawn to people that talk more than just cars and cooking and kids and so forth. More about the soul type of things. Then you go into year number eight. Now, if you planted a watermelon seed in the beginning, this is where you get your watermelons.
All right.
The reward for all of this work that you've been doing. So you pull all the watermelons out. You have a wonderful time. And then you've got to go in and pull out the plant. In year number nine, you look at everything in your life. You determine what have you finished with and can let go of, and what do you need to keep because you still got work to do on it. Something must go out of your life to make room to start something new. It could be a move. It could be the end of a friendship that has run its course, or, you know, something like this. But you've got to have some space. And this is a continuing thing until you have gone through all of the lessons that you chose to work on in this lifetime. Once you've done that, then you get to graduate from this school year. We call it death in this lifetime, but it's actually graduation. The soul goes home, takes a vacation, makes new choices, and comes back. The body that it was in is put into the earth and returns to the earth. Yeah. Next time, I'm going to be 6 foot tall, blonde, beautiful, and I'm adding healthy. I'm getting better. So.
Wow. That's an interesting about those 9-year cycles. Now, I have a question that when you started mentioning the 9-year cycles that pops into my mind is, what about those souls that leave this world before then? Because we know it happens. We know that children pass, that they move on.
They may have had only a very short list. They may have had a short list because they were here to help the people that were their parents to learn things.
Yeah, that makes a great deal of sense to me. I've lost a child myself, so that's where that curiosity came from for me.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, but they came here to help you learn something, and I'm sure you
did. Oh, yes. Oh, I can't even begin to even put into words the massive lesson that was. I'm just massive a blessing.
But
it was still a blessing.
If you hadn't gone through that, you would not have the empathy to do the work you are doing.
Exactly. And that was, I think, the first thing that I realized in the hindsight of it, because it's really hard to realize that in the midst of the tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But once you get a little bit of distance and you can see how you've grown and you've changed from a lesson like that, or any lesson for that matter, you really can go, well, look who I am now.
I would not want to go to a doctor that's never been ill.
Yeah.
They don't have the understanding of what you're going through.
Yeah, very true. And I think that empathy is, and that compassion is core and central to our spiritual beings and the human experiences that we're going through with each other. Wow. That's just so much to learn. Whoa. And I love it because learning
I've been working on it for about 20 years, so I have a little jump start on you.
Yes, very much so, but it's fascinating, and I've enjoyed having you on the show. Before we go to Mike, which we're going to do in just a little bit here so he can tell us what's coming up in PRS, I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us how people can contact you for your services.
All right, I'd be happy to tell you. The easiest way probably would be my telephone number.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's area code 816-350-8738. And please leave a message. I will call you back. And I have...
Yes, she definitely will. She's good at that.
I was trying to think. I can't even remember my own email. Oh, okay. You can text me, too. Wanda Chapel at... that's my email. I don't use this stuff.
It's okay. I understand. It's okay.
Telephone number is my best bet, but please, I would love to talk to you. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call me about that. I'm happy to talk about it.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Now, I've thoroughly enjoyed the show.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed having you. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with real quick as maybe some last bit of insight?
Be nice to yourself in this lifetime. You have more chances. Just do the best you can and let that be enough for right now. when you come back, you'll have be able to add more knowledge to this. But that's the one thing that I would impress on you.
Oh, yes, definitely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Be nice to yourself. Have self-love and self-compassion. I think, honestly, it's through that where we discover our compassion we can have with other people. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go to Mike really quick so he can tell us what's coming up over the next several months in PRS. Take it away, Mikey.
All right. We return back to the Westwood, Kansas Community Center starting November 14th. That meeting will be Robin Stevens with Feng Shui. December 5th, we have our annual holiday dinner and award ceremony. And January 16th is our annual predictions panel. All of our members do get in for free. Anyone else can join us for $5. And more information will be on our website at prskc.org.
And now I know, Mikey, that you've planned more than just through January. Do you have anything else you want to let us know about? Because I know you've got pretty much through June, haven't you?
I have nothing written down yet.
Oh, okay. Well, get that written down, dude, because I'm really excited. I want to know. But, yeah, we're going to have some wonderful things coming up, so be sure to check out prskc.org. And over the next few weeks here on Radio PRS, we have some wonderful guests. Next week on November the 4th, we have Christy Stuckey, and Christy is a wonderful intuitive consultant and energy worker. I got the pleasure of sitting next to her at the PRS Psychic Fair, and, oh, my gosh, the aura colors that I was catching off of the people that she was helping. Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. It was like somebody did an aura fireworks show. It was so cool. And then November the 11th, we have Maya Zahira. Maya Zahira is an energy worker and also a belly dance instructor. And she's a longstanding member and constructive member of the metaphysical community in Kansas City, and she's wonderful. You're going to love that. November 18th, we have Sylvia Vallotton and Gigi Woodman of Casey Metaphysical. The Casey Metaphysical Fair is coming up November 20th through the 22nd. I will be there. I will be reading. I am excited. It's my first Casey Metaphysical Fair, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So you're going to want to check out the shows for the next few weeks. Well, pretty much every week. You should check it out every week. Remember that if anyone didn't get to hear this live and you think they would enjoy it, be sure to share with them that it can be. All of our shows are archived and can be found at any time at blogtalkradio.com/PRSKC Radio. Thank you again to Wanda Chapel. You are a wonderful guest, and you are a wonderful teacher, and I appreciate you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Wonderful. You too. You too. And everybody out there, have a wonderful evening. Go watch the rest of that Royals and Mets World Series game. Cheer us on, unless you're a Mets fan, obviously, then cheer them on. But, you know, hey, it's going to be a fabulous week, and all of you enjoy it. And have a wonderful Halloween as well. Good night, and God bless. Cue the music.
Waiting room.